We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
It's Fire Away Friday.
Fire Away Friday.
On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can also email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploring the word.
Exploring the Word.
It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
Like to think every day on Exploring the Word is special, but we especially like Fire Away Friday. Hi, Alex McFarland here along with Bert Harper. And the number, as you heard in the intro, is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We would love to have your calls, your Bible questions. And we've been in Romans chapter 9 the last couple of days, but you can ask anything, and we will do our best to give you an answer that is biblical and factual. And now, Bert, as we get into the program, and those phone calls are coming in, I see, we have a praise report, don't we? Because, you know, folks, periodically people share prayer requests, and we love to pray, and we love to hear prayer requests, but we've really got something that I think is pretty miraculous and pretty exciting.
It is. You know, I go to churches and they'll have a prayer list. But the thing that they need to add, I believe, is prayers answered. And have a list over there. It give people incentive to pray. So we had the call in. Let me just share that. I think I can do that. It was a prayer request from Christina asking us to pray for a young man up in West Virginia on his way back to college, and he was involved in a serious accident. And he asked us, and when I say us, I'm not talking about Bird and Alex. We're talking about the Exploring the Word family. And we prayed, and today, Devin here, man, that's about three producers back. I'm sorry.
I'm offended.
I bet. And Brent.
Brent Austin, I know who you are, and I appreciate you.
I'm glad somebody does.
Amen. Hey, Brent let us know that we got this email, and it was that his life, he went through the surgery. It was miraculous. The surgeon came out and said it was flawless, and the outcome was better than anticipated. And the responders were there, and they did some miraculous things with God's help that kept him alive in order for him to be able right now to be ready to start rehab and reducing the sedation. So things are going great. So we want to say praise God. He does answer prayer. Now, sometimes, let me just share with you, when we hear one like that, I think it does encourage us. But sometimes he answers not yet, but praise the Lord. When it happens immediately, Alex, doesn't it add a lot to your prayer life and encouragement from the Lord?
Amen. Bert, I'm with you. We have the prayer requests, but we need to also have the praise reports. And we did pray for this college student, and we completely give God the glory for intervening and intervening quickly. You know, I remember a couple of years ago, I think it was the spring of 22, a listener in Texas asked us to pray about the drought. I mean, it was very severe. And we prayed on air, and within about 12 hours or more, it rained for 2 days straight. And again, we give God all the glory. But prayer, Bert, I'm going to be speaking tomorrow on prayer. By the way, folks, at the historic Carolina Theater in Greensboro, North Carolina, just an hour from Raleigh, a little over an hour from Charlotte, right in the middle of the state, there's a big prayer rally, 12 to 2. Doors open at 11 a.m., and I'll be there tomorrow. And I've got the privilege of being the speaker, and we believe there'll be a couple of thousand people, and we're just going to pray for America. But, Bert, let me say this. Prayer changes people's lives. Prayer changes circumstances. I believe prayer can change history. And if ever there's a time to pray for all of the needs of life, this is the time for the church, no matter who you are, to pray to God, because God does answer prayer.
Amen. Alex, I'll be preaching at Tremont Baptist Church. That's a church here in northeast Mississippi, real close to Alabama state line. And okay. I'll be starting at 10:30 Sunday morning, 6:30 Sunday night, and 7 o'clock Monday through Wednesday night. So we'd invite anybody over in that area to come and visit. I'd love to meet you. By the way, we've got lines that are open, and that number, 888-589-8840. You could be in the queue and ready to ask your questions, but we have some that are waiting already, haven't we, Alex?
We do. We're going to begin our day in Missouri, just one of the most beautiful states, Missouri. This is Jill. Thanks for holding, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, thank you. I talked to you a little earlier today, Alex. I don't remember the name of the program. But anyway, I was cut off and I wasn't able to finish. And it had to do with what you were discussing about the 14th Amendment. In Maryland, there is the Institute on the Constitution, and I attended that. And I learned from the chief instructor that the 14th Amendment, he said, was created to give former slaves from Africa full benefit of American citizenship. And he said that it is on congressional records that our founding fathers said that the 14th Amendment was not to be used for foreigners having babies on American soil. That phrase that says that they are subject to the jurisdiction thereof refers to the jurisdiction thereof, the governments that their foreign parents came from, not the government of the United States. So our Constitution does not recognize anchor babies, DACAs, or dreamers, or any of that stuff.
Amen.
That for that reason, Kamala Harris and Vivekananda, whatever his name is, they never qualified for the office of vice president or president, because in both cases, their parents were foreign nationals when they were born on American soil. And in Vivekananda's case, he was born in Ohio, and Kamala Harris, she was born in California. So neither one of them qualifies according to our U.S. Constitution.
Jill, let me comment on this. Thank you for calling in. I remember you did call in earlier and we ran out of time. Just a little bit of backstory. And Bert, I'm very blessed by teaching in the School of Practical Government at Karis Bible College with David Barton, Bill Federer, Attorney Richard Harris, E.W. Jackson, Abe Hamilton III. I've learned quite a bit about the Bill of Rights and the amendments. Now, here's the thing. The 14th Amendment, which was added to the Constitution in ratified 1868, listen to this. It, because this is important for these times in which we live, and we're going to get to Bible questions. But here's the thing. The 14th Amendment says, no state shall make or enforce any law which will abridge the privileges or immunities of the citizens of the United States. No state shall deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And, you know, I think about the fact that the state of New York mercilessly has abridged the privileges and immunities of former President Donald Trump. You know, in fact, Judge Judy, everybody's seen the Judge Judy show. She's, you know, since 1965 been a judge and an attorney. And I don't know where she stands politically, but even Judge Judy, soundly condemned the state of New York and the Attorney General of New York for, politically persecuting Donald Trump. So it's interesting. I think it could be argued that the trials Donald Trump has been subjected to violate the 14th Amendment. But regarding Kamala Harris, Vivek Ramaswamy, here's what's dangerous about the times in which we live, and we're going to move on. Like life, liberty, or property, and the due process referred to in the 14th Amendment speak to the fact that our Constitution guarantees natural rights. Now, two natural rights for natural law, the right to life. See, all humans have the constitutionally protected right to life. Therefore, we have legal protection for the unborn. But as you know, the left has fought that for 50-plus years. So I guess here's my point. From a legal standpoint, I think it could legitimately be argued in court that Kamala Harris, while she was born in Oakland, California, both of her parents were not American citizens. And these anchor babies, as they would be called. And by the way, it is said now that China is sending people over here ready to give birth to get citizens that are Chinese, of Chinese extract, but born in America, and they're going to be taken back to China, trained in communism, then sent back here because they're, by birth, an American citizen. Bert, I'll say this. We are a lawless society. It's jeopardizing our electoral process. It's jeopardizing the future of our country. But I could talk about the legal and moral issues. Basically, what we're suffering from are spiritual issues. That's why I urge every God-fearing American to really, really pray, because we need God's intervention, don't we, Bert?
We really do, and we pray for that. Matter of fact, we'll just take time out and pray. Father, I thank you that we can come to you and here on this network, on this program, and seek you and your kingdom, your righteousness. And Father, as Alex said, yes, we got a great constitution and people want to twist it and do away with it, change it. But Father, I thank you that it has stood the time. But that, more importantly than that, is your word, the word of God, that it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, we pray that your word would go forth and accomplish what you sent it forth to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We're going to go to Louisiana. Troy in Louisiana, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello. I have this question. I've listened over and over to multiple people that said they were taken to hell by either Jesus Christ or an angel of the Lord. And they said, all of them said that billions and billions upon billions are in hell, suffering, being tortured and tormented by demons, by snakes, and all kind of other different creatures. And with that, all of them said that either Jesus Christ or the angel of the Lord told them that from a scale 1 to 100, 97.5% of the people are going to hell, and only 2.5 are going to heaven. And they said that he said that the remnant, his remnant, is, you know, the majority of the 2.5 and all the babies that were aborted, because they said, he said, Jesus Christ or the angel of the Lord said that in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, you know, the wide gate, broad is the way, wide is the gate that leads.
Hey, Troy, forgive me. Hold that thought. We've got a brief break. We're going to get to this. We're going to answer all of this. Bert Harper, Alex McFarland, the American Family Radio Network. This is Exploring the Word. Fire away Friday. If you call, you will get in. We want to hear your Bible questions, and we'll address this one after this break. Here's the number, everybody. Dial it now, 888-589-8840. We're back after this. If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. And in a shocking stance, the Dems' VP nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies by introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love. Her baby's chance at life doubles. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax-deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, B-A-B-Y, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. preborn.com/AFR.
Lately I've been wrestling with everything, 'cause everything seems hard. Been caught up in the worry and anxiety, keeps tearing me apart.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert and Alex here on Fire Away Friday. And that number, if you want to call, 888-589-8840. Well, Alex, before we took the break, Troy was on the line, and he gave us enough information that I think we can go from there. I would say the Bible makes it, it looks like it's plain, at the point of death, you go to one or the other. There's not, there doesn't seem to be a holding for either or. You either go to torment or you go to a place that, you know, paradise or with Jesus. Alex, take it away.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8 that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And you read like in Luke 16, and Jesus told the story. It's not a parable. It's a true account of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man died, was buried, and in hell lifted up his eyes. So at the moment of death, saved or lost, you go where you're going to be. Now, to the caller's point, and caller, thank you for being a part of Exploring the Word, but let me just say this, Bert. I'm a little nervous whenever we hear accounts of heaven or hell that people said they, I saw the other side and this or that happened. Here's the thing. The only definitive word we have about the afterlife is from the Word of God, the Bible, and Jesus himself. And Galatians 1 verse 8, now listen very carefully. Paul wrote this in Galatians 1 verse 8. Paul said, if we or an angel from heaven even preaches a different gospel, let them be accursed. And people will say, and Bert, I've met people, they'll say, well, I read Embraced by the Light by Betty J. Eddy, and she was on Oprah, and she said she saw the other side. I've had people who said they were dead and they saw the other side. Be careful, folks. 2 Peter 1:19-21 says that there is only one sure word Amen. Of prophecy, and it is the Bible, God's Word.
It really is. And the 2% and all of that, if we don't know for sure, and that God will always have a remnant, but we know that that's usually at a place or a location. Now, as we're getting more of a worldwide picture of what's going on the earth, you know, I think the remnant does include the whole earth. But Alex, you know that that parable that Jesus gave about sowing the seed, at least a 25% of those at least responded, and we know they're saved. There's questions about the other one or two of the others that people have asked me. So listen, heaven is a big place. When we hear about the new heaven and the new earth and it's coming back and how big it is going to be room for a lot and a lot of people. And we're praying many, many go there. And let's mm-hmm. make sure those of you who are hearing today that you know Jesus Christ is Savior. As Alex said, the Bible is the sure word. And it says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. So let's do that. Alex, we got any other callers?
Carolyn in Mississippi. This is Fire Away Friday, folks. You can call in with a Bible question. It's 888-589-8840. But in Mississippi, Carolyn, welcome.
Hello. I do not exactly have a question, but I wanted to let the people know. I heard last night on a show that I watch online that Sunday morning there's going to be a global day of prayer for America.
Wow. There's an organization called the Internet. Hey, forgive me for jumping in here. Bert, that is exciting. Do you know, I learned that since the 1990s, South Korea has sent missionaries to America.
Oh, yeah. And Brazil is, too. Brazil has. It is true. Go ahead.
A global day of prayer for America. Well, let me just say, we receive it. We need it. And I just, with 45 days to go to the election, and look, so much hangs in the balance. This is not partisan. This is not, but we're talking about right versus wrong, freedom versus bondage, human lives, morality. Bert, I don't mean to overstate this, and I've heard this a time or two in my life, but I'm going to say it. I truly think the next election is potentially the most significant of our lifetime. I urge people to pray, and I'm thankful to hear that people are going to be praying around the world for the United States.
Really, we do. And Carolyn, thank you for letting us know about that. That is a blessing to know. They may can find information about that. We try not to give out numbers and websites that we ourselves have not looked at. And so, Carolyn, you have made that known to us. So I think they can say a National Day of Prayer or Global Prayer for America, and they might find that information on their own. Thank you, Carolyn.
Amen. Thank you. James from Arkansas. James, thanks for holding. You're on.
Okay, how you guys doing now?
Good. Welcome.
Okay. All right. So I got a question. I want to know, I hear a minister say that Jesus is God. So I want to know if Jesus is Jesus and God is God, or Jesus is God.
Okay, James, great. Mm-hmm. Listen, the Trinity, James, I'm sure maybe you've heard about the Trinity. God, really a better word is the triune God, Alex. You know, mm-hmm. Sometimes that except we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And according to the Word of God, they're all equal. But they're one, but separate in many ways, but yet they agree in one. Alex, mm-hmm. we've tried to explain it. Go at it again for James.
Uh-huh. You know, the Trinity, it's simple and yet it's complex. There's one God, the nature or the essence of God. And yet God has revealed to the human race that eternally, forever, he is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, I wrote an article, and Brent Austin has graciously put it on the Facebook page, which, by the way, if you haven't liked our Facebook page yet, please do that. We are nearing 10,000 likes on Facebook, and folks, so please check it out. Brent puts a lot of content up there. But regarding the nature of God, to your question, James, yes, Jesus is God incarnate. In fact, over and over in the Gospels, he says as much. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. And so Jesus is God. I want to say this. People ask, well, give me a good analogy or comparison. This is maybe not great, but think about a piano chord. By the way, it's interesting, a chord is called a triad because there are three notes, like C, E, G. Now, if somebody, let's say they make a C chord on a piano, boom, you hear this chord. But if you listen carefully, you'll hear the three individual notes. Now, Bert, I can't say I completely understand this, but I definitely believe it. There is one God, and yet three persons within the Godhead, not three gods. Not three gods, one God, and yet God the Father is not the Son and the Spirit, and God the Son is not the Father in the Spirit, and God the Spirit is not the Father in the Son.
I don't believe man could have ever come that, you know, up on his own. God reveals that to us, And exactly. And Alex, let me just say, you're doing a great job. That chord really does. It does have a lot of meaning in that. It can't fully, but it is a great example, and we appreciate that. And it's, by the way, Brent said that on our Facebook page, he has put it up. And how can they find
the
that, Brent?
It stays pinned to the page constantly on our Facebook page. You can find it anytime pinned to the top of the page, but also just reshared it so it's going to show up for you guys that might not be tech savvy gotcha. With the Facebook stuff. It's right there for you to find, no problem.
Okay.
And you know, I'll say this, and we're going to move on. And by the way, if you have a Bible question, we'd be very pleased to hear from you. It's 888-589-8840. Bert, I don't the Trinity, the truth of God and His triune nature, one God, yet Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I don't think any human could or would have ever been able to think that up. It's beyond the realm of human intellect. But it was revealed by God. Isn't that amazing?
Amen. The revealing of God is so important to us. And you want to know more about God? Walk in the light that you have, and the light, more light, sort of like holding a flashlight in the dark. If you hold it out in front of you, if you want to see further out, what do? You walk in the light that you already have so you can get more light. That is Amen. It. Follow Christ. Alex, where
to? And Bert, and I think one of the most worshipful, one of the greatest songs ever written, and if the world lasted 10,000 more years, one of the greatest songs ever written is the song "Holy, Holy, Holy." Holy.
Amen, amen. That's folks, by the way, that's taken straight out of Isaiah chapter 6. As those angels, seraphim, were flying around with six wings, won't go into all that. They'd fly around and they'd look at God and they'd say, "Holy, holy, holy." They'd fly a little further and they'd cry, "Holy, holy, holy." No matter Amen. Where they look from, no matter what they said, God is holy. Alex, what a God we serve.
James in Tennessee, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, Alex, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure we had a good connection here. I just had breakfast with Bert this past Saturday. He was in Tennessee at Salem Baptist Church. I don't know. He might not remember me. I come in from his backside as soon as we entered the fellowship hall there and said, "You're Bert Harper, right?"
Wonderful.
Yeah, thank you, James, for calling. Way to go, man.
Yeah, we had a good breakfast, and Bert had a good word through Acts and all. It was really great. But when I first tuned y'all in today, I heard y'all talking about some guy that had a wreck and that God was doing that instant healing on him, and I didn't get into it. I really wanted to talk to Bert Saturday about this, but I didn't want to take up his time. But last December, actually December 21st, I fell out in my carport with Legionnaire's disease.
Hmm.
And it almost took me out. I mean, I was put on a vent for 11 days. My oxygen had dropped down to the 30s. They didn't even know if I was going to make it or have any sense about me. But hearing y'all talking about the guy, you know, the Lord answers prayers in his will, in his time. And I was on that vent for 11 days. I come off, but while I was on it, of course, I had bad hallucinations and everything. But while I was on there, there was one time I don't know if y'all have ever talked to anybody that's been on the vent, but when you're coming out of it and they're weaning you off, it's like someone's choking you and you cannot breathe. I mean, it's horrible. Mm. But one time in my conscious mind, I cried out to the Lord, "Lord, I know if I die, I'm going to be with you. I know that." But I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, please just give me more time with my family."
Amen. Amen.
Oh, bless you.
Amen. And,
hey. He did, you know, he did the same for King Hezekiah.
That's who I was thinking of, James. When you said that, I said, there's James and Hezekiah. James, I want to say thank you. Yeah, thank you, man. Listen, I do remember you. Yes, I do. And we had a great time, and we just praise. Alex, you and I love to meet people, don't we?
Amen. James, we rejoice that God has raised you up off your bed of sickness. And I know there's people everywhere that are battling things. Folks, God knows where you are in your journey, and you call out to God. He is with you. He is the great physician. You know, Bert, I thank God for doctors and and modern medicine. But we know Jesus is our source, and when we're down, Jesus is our healer, isn't he?
He really is. And I think we need to have another prayer for Thanksgiving. Especially as we're building up to the election, we're spending more and more time in prayer. Father, I thank you for James and him calling today to testify of what you have done. Now, we could do a whole program, and we'll probably do that in the next future, about not just prayer requests, but how about prayers answered. And I thank you for that, and I pray that you'd use James with his family. And Father, I understand that cry to really, it'd be advantageous for us to go on to be with you. But Father, we want to stay and influence our family and our friends with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The number 888-589-8840. We'd love to get your Bible question. Today we'll hear from Todd in Alabama. Todd, you're on.
Gentlemen, greetings in the name of the risen Savior.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He is risen indeed.
Indeed. Way to go, Todd. Go ahead, brother.
I am a first-time caller, but I wanted to give an example to the previous James that called about the triune and a human way of thinking of it. My name's Todd, and I am Todd the person. But when I married my wife, I became Todd the husband. I'm no less Todd the husband than I am the person, but now I'm two things. Now, when I have children, I'm Todd the person, I'm Todd the husband, and I'm Todd the parent. Still the same Todd, still the same person, three different responsibilities. I have a responsibility to myself, I have a responsibility to my wife, I have a responsibility to my children. You can take it further. I own a construction company. I'm Todd the boss at the construction company. So I have different purposes, different jobs, but I'm still the same one complete person.
Amen.
So we can't totally understand the actions and functions of God because we're a creation, but he's not held by time. And we cannot understand all the wonderful things.
Amen, Todd. Thank you, brother. We appreciate you. Thank you for all you're doing. We've got one more segment, and we want to get your phone call today. So give us a call at 888-589-8840.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
I wish I could tell you, wish I could describe it, but I can't contain it, can't keep it to myself. There are enough colors to paint the whole picture.
Hey, welcome back to Exploring the Word. We're going to get straight to the calls, get as many in as we can. Hey, before time fleets, well, I want to encourage you to be in church on Sunday. No matter where you are, find a place to worship and go hear the Word of God taught. Please be in church on Sunday. Brent Austin, our producer, has a website that we're going to give. One of the previous callers mentioned this Global Day of Prayer for the USA, and we appreciate that. But Brent, I think you've got the website. What you got, man?
Right, and no offense to Carolyn that called a while ago. We just didn't want to give out a website on the air without vetting it a little first to make sure, you know, it was legitimate. You never know what you're going to run into. Stephanie, the producer for Dr. Peck, just sent me a post, and she had somebody on the other day that mentioned this website as well. She checked it out for us. Everything looks good. The website is www.gdop-america.org.
Give it one more time.
www.gdop-america.org for the Global Day of Prayer for America.
Wow, thanks very much. Wonderful. Well, Missouri, Dennis in Missouri, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you for taking my call. who have listened to your show and all that you guys do. My question probably seemed like kind of a silly question, but I read in Genesis where God said, let us make man and woman in our image in Genesis 1. And after I read that, it talked about having dominion with him. And then I read later on, he made Adam and Eve. Now, I know this seems kind of silly, but did God make other people before Adam and Eve?
Okay, good question. We've asked that before. Let me share this with you. The best illustration, Alex, and you fill it in. That's how we do best. You know, chapter 1 tells you the big picture of creation. And then when you get to Adam and Eve, he zeroes in on that particular event that in creation. Alex, go right ahead.
Yeah, Dennis, thanks for the question. I do not believe that there were people made prior to Adam and Eve. You know, 1 Corinthians 15, 45 and following talks about the first Adam made of earth, and Jesus was the second Adam. And despite what evolution might theorize, I know evolutionists can find, you know, a pig's tooth in Nebraska and build a whole civilization out of it. Very speculative, very imaginative, and I think very detached from reality. Now, I absolutely believe that Adam was the first human being, and Eve was created from Adam's rib. And do you know, Bert, even secular science, based on study of mitochondria, secular science says the human race came from a single male-female pair. They'll say like 100,000 years ago. I got to tell you.
How about a million years ago? I read that article, and they can't say man or woman because of the political thing. They said source. You know, came from the same source. But
Adam was the first human being. Eve was the second. Cain and Abel came along, and here we all are. But
thank you, Dennis.
Harriet in Mississippi, I think, has a praise report. Welcome, Harriet.
Thank you so much. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, good. Okay. Several years ago, I just listened to the guy that talked about having a bad wreck and everything. Several years ago, I had a really bad wreck, and I wasn't supposed to make it. But in the emergency, not the emergency room, oh, what is it? As I laid there for 12 days with a ventilator on, I would just, my sister put a picture of Jesus up by the clock, and I would look at that picture, and I would look at that clock, and I just would ask God to let me live just long enough to see my grandchildren grow up. And now I have 11 great grandchildren.
Hallelujah.
So glory
God
to God.
Truly bless my heart.
Amen. So, amen, Harriet. Listen, I want to tell you, as a grandparent, I know Harriet's thoughts. Listen, being a grandparent, they named us, the grandchildren named them right. Harriet, praise God. And it's
glory
intensive care is probably where you were. And
yes.
I see you. And God, hey, Alex, being a pastor, I visited in emergency rooms, ICUs, coronary care. You know, so many I couldn't keep up with it. But I just share with you, God, in those places of desperation, difficulty, it's amazing how many times God shows up with his mercy and grace and even in power. Thank you, Harriet.
Yeah. Amen. What a great praise. David in Mississippi. David, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to get you guys' expert take on Numbers 5. And I think it starts about verse 16 and goes on past 22. I've heard that tried to be manipulated, and I've read it through three different versions, and I still don't quite fully, I'm not satisfied. So I thought I'd call the experts.
Okay. Alex, do you have that looked up yet?
Numbers 5, 16 and following. It's really about a kind of a test for infidelity on the part of a wife about a woman standing before the priest, and he takes holy water and mixes it with some dirt from the floor of the tabernacle. Is that it, David, about the test for an unfaithful wife?
That's it. And it, some people have tried to say that this, if she was unfaithful, that it's ends up in abortion.
Okay. All right. So the priest, and let me just say this. In the Old Testament, the Levitical law and the rituals and the different things they would do, very intricate. And my goodness, I'll be reading the Old Testament, Bert, and I'll think, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the salvation we have in the one who fulfilled the law. But it goes on, if a wife has had relations with another man besides her husband or accused of such, the priest is to say, and this is verse 20, if you have gone astray while married to your husband and you've made yourself impure by having sexual relations with another man other than your husband, verse 21, here the priest is to put the woman under this curse. May the Lord cause you to become a curse among your people, and may you either be barren or miscarry. Now, let me say this. This is not abortion, and I'll tell you why. This in no way could be used to justify abortion. And I realize this is sad. I mean, things like STDs. And by the way, many women, I heard a lecture by a medical doctor about so many women today have become infertile because of HPV and other sexually transmitted diseases. And so it's sad. But in verse 21 of Numbers 5, the priest says, if the woman is an adulteress, may the Lord cause you to miscarry. And there's a big difference between, and I know this is not pleasant to speak about, but Bert, here's my point. There's a big difference between a stillborn or miscarried baby in the hands of Almighty God than a human-induced abortion. Am I right?
You're right on. And again, anyone, they want to legitimize sin, and this they want to use this because of the difficulty of it. But again, we trust God concerning all of these things. We really do. And, they say, trust the science or follow the science. I'd rather trust and follow God. And here they're Amen. Following God, Alex.
Amen. 888-589-8840. Let's try Louisiana. Danielle, is this Danielle in Louisiana?
Hi, it sure is, yes. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
Yes, I was wanting to get your comments on Jesus' first miracle. I just feel like his changing water into wine, and with the best wine being at the last, it was almost like a prophetic picture of his life with the resurrection being at the end. Could I just get your comments on that?
Okay, let's stick to it is a good, but let's stick to what was, and it was a wedding. I use this in my wedding ceremonies, Alex, about Jesus turning the water into wine, mm-hmm. and he saved the best. Now, the tradition was you would have the best wine first, but not when Jesus has done it. And how sweet early marriage is on your honeymoon, the first year, getting to know one another. But when Jesus Christ is the crowning touch of your marriage, guess what? The best is yet to come. Now, that's the illustration I use, but it also could be used, as Danielle said, concerning Christ, that his victory is real in overcoming our greatest enemy, sin and death. Take it away, Alex.
Well, and also, let me just say, if you're a Christian, and we hope you are, if you're a born-again believer, you are on your way to a marriage. There's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you know what? Life down here is good. Sometimes it's hard. But, Bert, it's the best comes later, doesn't it? Jesus, like the wedding of Cana in Galilee, Jesus saves the best for last. And folks, you stay faithful, you stay close to Christ, because one day, as the old song says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see him.
Danielle, thank you for that. I just want to say that blessed me for you to see that, call about that, and for Alex and myself to be able to comment. Thank you, Danielle.
Amen. Hey, folks, we got time for one or two more calls. The number 888-589-8840, Arkansas, where I'm going to be in October, actually. Jarrett in Arkansas. By the way, I got to put a little plug in. October 4th through 6th, Bella Vista Baptist Church in Bella Vista, Arkansas, October 4th through 6th, and that's on my calendar at alexmcfarland.com. But Jarrett, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today? Is it Friday for you?
Yeah.
Good. My question is real quick. Five-point Calvinism, I've been told, teaches limited atonement. Is that correct?
Well, if somebody is a true five-point Calvinist, and hold your thought because I want you to come back in, we really ought to do an entire show about Calvinism, not to be heavy-handed and critical. Bert, I've heard of 2-point, 3-point, 4-point, 5-point Calvinists, but one of the it's TULIP, and the L, if somebody is a 3- to 5-point Calvinist, is limited atonement, which I respectfully, humbly, let me say, I don't believe in. I think Christ died for the whole wide world. But yes, you are correct. Go ahead there, Jarrett.
He's gone. Listen.
Oh, did he go?
Let me say this. As long as someone agrees that man is accountable and man, God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, that the grace of God has appeared to all men. Listen, I don't know exactly how all this works, and Alex and I have said that again and again. Just like the Trinity, you can use illustration after illustration, and it still comes short. The man who gave the good illustration about a father, a husband, and himself, the only problem, he can only be in one place at one time. But God is able to, the Father be on the throne and Jesus be here upon earth in the flesh, and then Jesus ascend back to the Father at the right hand and the Holy Spirit come down here. We can't do that. And Alex, I would say the same thing about the sovereignty of God and who he is, and yet the free will of man. God is the one that takes care of it. And I agree with Spurgeon. Why should these friends, why should they compete?
Indeed. Anthony in West Virginia, you'll have to be the last call today, but what you got, Anthony?
Well, I'll make it quick because I know time's limited. I attend a Bible study, and we studied Revelations, which was very uplifting. And during some of the conversations, some of the people that are there are saying that you can keep evil spirits away from your house by anointing the doors and windows with oil. And it sounds like voodooism to me, and I didn't want to say anything at first because I'm not as educated as I'd like to be. And I'm going to hang up, and I'd like to hear your response.
Thank you, Anthony. Let me tell you, praying at those places is much better than anointing with oil. Alex, I've done that. I've gone through some new houses. And Lord, we are praying that your Holy Spirit would saturate this place and limit Satan in his curse and his power in this house. I don't know about the oil. Have you had that?
No. Deuteronomy 6 verse 9 talks about putting scripture on the doorpost, but it's mainly about keeping God's word foremost in front of our mind and our attention. Hey, you as a born-again believer, you pray for God's Holy Spirit to fill the house, and God's presence and God's Spirit will.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word here on the American Family Radio Network, and it's always a joy to have you. And go to church this weekend. Let the Lord Jesus Christ bless you richly by being with his people. Tune in Monday as Exploring the Word continues to go through the book of Romans.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.